Liverpool Live. During my 50 years on radio, it's been my very great pleasure to interview many people from all walks of life in the entertainment world. Back to the 60s again with a guy who seems to have been around forever and he's still got the same head of hair as he did when he started. The boss and the swinging blue jean, Ray Ennis.
Billy Butler on Liverpool Live with Morton's Dairies. Everything you need and everything you want delivered to your door. Liverpool Live.
Yeah. Instrumentally, the swinging blue jeans and... Was that Walk Don't Run, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Walk Don't Run by the Swinging Blue Jeans. Show what a fine instrumental group they were. Good guitar solo, Ray. Would that be you?
No, it was Colin Manley.
Oh, was that Colin on that one?
That was Colin,
that,
yeah.
I thought that was too late on. And of course, with the humour that Ray is known for, we had a funny introduction there as well, because you've got quite a name as being quite a funny guy. You did some great stuff writing for Maisie Beat as well, and also for The Beat. You had a column in The Beat, didn't you?
I did do, yeah. It was called the EBC, the Elbow Bending Club.
So 1957 would be right, would it, Ray?
For the Cavern?
No, for the Blue Jeans, starting off, 57, was it?
Oh, yeah, 57, yeah.
So it's a lot of years in the biz. And that was mainly at the Mardi Gras, of course, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, we actually started at the Cavern.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because Alan Sittner had it, and it was purely jazz.
That's right, yeah.
And we used to go down there, and we had a skiffle group at the time, and of course, they didn't sell any alcohol in the Cavern.
No.
So the jazz bands used to play for about an hour, and then they'd have a half an hour break or so, and they'd go down to the pub. And there was this void there, and there was no music at all, you know. And the manager at the time was a guy called Ricky Ashen. We said to him, you know, we could play in the interval, you know, and keep the place going, as it were. Anyway, he gave us a try. The following Sunday, and we used to do every Sunday night after that.
Yeah, and you had a Blue Jeans guest night later on, didn't you? Because do you know last Friday, do you know where you were 60 years ago last Friday? 60 years ago last Friday, that would be August the 1st, and it was a Tuesday.
Well, we were at the Cavern.
You were at the Cavern. Tuesday the 1st, the lunchtime session was the Strangers. And in the evening, it was Blue Jeans guest night with the Remo 4 and Ray and the Del Rinas. 60 years ago, almost to this week.
Wow.
Hey. Not bad, eh? And still going strong.
Yeah, still getting up the stairs, just...
And that was a weird mixture because I saw you at the Cavern the first time with the Beatles as your guest. And it was a strange combination because you were still playing jazz, weren't you? And then the Beatles were doing rock and roll.
That's right, yeah. Totally one end of the scale to the other.
And the transformation came when? Was it after you'd done the Star Club? Because that's not a very nice memory, is it, for you at the Star Club?
No, it was very strange, actually, because Horst Fascher, who was manager of the Star Club at the time, came over to Liverpool looking for more bands because a lot of the bands, you know, Rory Storm and King Size Taylor had gone over to the Star Club and were, you know, very popular. So Ray McFall, who owned the Cavern then, recommended us to him, and he came down he didn't speak any English, and of course we didn't speak any German. Unfortunately, the Beatles were on that lunchtime session, and Paul McCartney spoke pretty good German. So the four of us and Lennon and McCartney went to the... there was a cinema on Church Street, had a coffee bar. They used to just show cartoons, right opposite Woolworths it was. Anyway, we went in there for a coffee, and... Paul McCartney said, leave it to me, and he did all the negotiating with this fella, Horst Fascher. Anyway, after he'd finished his conversation with him, he said, all fixed, he said, I've got you a month in the Star Club in September, and this was 1962.
Yeah.
And he said, £35. And we thought, wow.
Yeah, a lot of money there.
A lot of money, you know. And I said, you know, a week. And he said, no, each. It was each a week.
Wow.
The equivalent of £35, obviously, in German marks. So we all, you know, said, well, we're going to have to pack our jobs in, which we didn't mind about, you know, because we had enough gigs anyway. There was hundreds of gigs in Liverpool in them days, you know. So we could earn a wage, you know. And basically, if it didn't work out, you know, we could always find another job when we come back. So we went out for the month. And as I say, well, you know, we were skiffle, basically. And we had a banjo and a string bass. And we started off the first night that we were there. It was like a conveyor belt of rock and roll bands.
Yeah.
And the Undertakers were one of the bands that were on. And we were following the Undertakers. And they had this thing worked out where every band finished their set with What I Say, the Ray Charles song. And the band that came on after them, behind the curtains, they'd swap over the amps and everything, and they'd carry on with What I Say as the first number.
Yeah.
And, of course, we'd never played What I Say in our lives, especially not with a banjo and a string bass. So we rehearsed it in the afternoon with the Undertakers to swap over and everything, and it went fine. And then the next song we did was Down by the Riverside.
At the Star Club.
At the Star Club. And into the first verse, all the crowd started whistling. Well, of course, in them days, whistling over here meant it was great, you know, so we thought, well, that's a good start. We're going down a bomb here, you know. And as we're carrying on singing, thinking, no, this is brilliant, the curtains started slowly closing in front of us. And Manfred Weissleder, who owned the club, came storming on the stage at the side, shouting, rock and roll, you must play rock and roll, not this silly jazz. They hate you, you know. And we thought, God, we're here for a month to be hated. So the next day, we went into the club early, and Paul, the banjo player, was quite a good muso. He played piano and everything, and there was a Hammond organ there, so he went on Hammond organ, and Les borrowed Jackie Lomax's Gibson electric bass. And because we knew all the Chuck Berry songs and everything, so we got a load of them off, and that's all he wanted to hear in the Star Club in them days. So we did that night, and
he survived the whole month.
We survived the whole month.
Okay, that was the very early days as well.
Billy Butler on Liverpool Live with Morton's Dairies. Proud to be your milkmen and women. Proud to serve you every single day.
Well, we're talking to Ralph Ellis, Ray Ennis of the Swinging Blue Jeans, who's here with me today, looking as good as ever, and singing as good as ever. I don't think your pitch has changed, has it, Ray? Do you sing in the same key?
Yeah, I'm very lucky, actually. It's stuck with me all these years.
Because people will look for that, because we know hippie shake starts, don't we? You know,
yep.
So from the first time you sing, they'll know, oh, he still sings in the same key.
Yeah.
And Hippie Hippie Shake, I mean, it was a massive hit. And I must admit, on the scene at the time, I was surprised, because it seemed that every group in the world was doing it. But not every group in the world had it out on a single, did they?
No, they didn't. I didn't realise how many recordings, you know, there were of it. There was a group from South Wales, Pat Harris and the Blackjacks,
they
were called. They released it at the same time as us, and luckily,
make it. Obviously, Brian Poole hadn't thought of it at the time.
No, Brian would have been on it like a, you know.
And that was a hit in America as well, wasn't it?
Yes, we were lucky with that one, yeah.
I think you had three, but the gamble was, you were one of the few bands, weren't you, Ray, that wasn't signed up by Epstein.
Yeah,
because you were with Jimmy Island, and
yep.
They had their own company as well, Do you think, was there any chance of you ever going over to NEMS? Were you ever approached?
Well, Brian did approach us at the time in the very early 60s and said, you know, he'd like to sign us and all that. And he said, well, you'll have to alter your music, which I found quite funny, considering that, you know, Brian to me was tone deaf. You know.
Fair enough. And interesting thing as well, your management decided your first single was, as they say in the business, self-penned.
Yes.
It was your own song you put out.
Yes. Yeah, it was one the first song I ever wrote, actually. And EMI quite liked it, and they put it out as a first single, and it got into the top 30. And we thought, oh, that's it now. Doesn't matter. You know, if nothing else happens, we've had a hit record.
Top 30,
we'll all go back to work, and that's it.
Yeah. Okay, so there was another hit single after that, which only came out in Norway or something, the second single. So Hip Hip Shake was your big one. You had to think of a follow-up. You did, and that was a big hit. And they were all up-tempo until You're No Good. Now, one thing we've noticed about the Blue Jeans, you covered a lot of ladies' songs, didn't you? Because You're No Good and the one we played, Don't We Ever, they're both female hits, weren't they?
They were, yeah. You're No Good was Betty Everett.
Yeah.
And, of course, Dionne Warwick did Don't Make Me Over.
So,
in fact, we were lucky enough to... We were in Paris doing a gig, and Dionne Warwick was on doing a show, and I think it was the Paris Olympia, I think the big one was. We were at a disco or something.
Yeah.
And our publicist, John Chilton, arranged for us to go and meet her. Well, we were all, you know, very nervous because we'd released Don't Make Me Over, and she'd done such a brilliant job on it. So we were quite embarrassed really going in to see her. But she said, from her point of view, It was nothing like her. She said, you've made it into a very good pop song.
Yeah.
Now, whether that was a backhanded compliment or not, I don't know. Maybe it's her way of saying, well, you've taken a lovely song and ruined it.
Okay, but you did have a really good repertoire on stage. And I always looking for the CDs and stuff that you've had issued to see what you've done.
Billy Butler on Liverpool Live with Morton's Dairies. Tradition, trust and service with a smile to your door. Liverpool
Live. Good Lovin', originally by the Olympics, but also a big, big hit for another American band, wasn't it, Ray, that you heard it from?
Yeah, the Young Rascals.
The Young Rascals.
Yeah.
Now, would that be part of your stage act at the time? Is that why you recorded it?
Yes, yeah, we were doing it on stage, and it used to go down well. And I'm not sure if the Young Rascals had a hit with it over here or not.
No, not at all. In America they did, but not here.
Yeah. And of course, when we used to go down to EMI to do a recording session, we'd go down with stuff that we'd written ourselves or stuff that was going down well in the set.
Made sense.
Yep.
So you went on to Swingin' Blue Jeans, toured all over the world in great success, and in the end it became too much for you, Ray, so you officially retired, and you made sure everybody knew you retired, and then you had a second thought and decided to come back again, but because of the court orders and this, that and the other, you couldn't support yourself the Swingin' Blue Jeans. But everybody knows, if you're going to see the Swingin' Blue Jeans, if they're billed anywhere, if Ray Ennis is not with them, they're not the Swingin' Blue Jeans. So you've done quite well as Ray Ennis's Swingin' Blue Jeans, fair enough. Yep. And you've got a brand new band who you're going to launch at the Cavern.
Yep, they're so new. I've got their names written down here.
Good thinking, Ray.
Yes. Otherwise, it'll be, I think he's on the drums and I think he's on the bass. But the good thing, you know, the good point about this is they're all Scousers, apart from the bass player, who's an adopted Scouser. He's Welsh, for his sins. And considering what I went through with the last Welsh fella I had.
Do you know I was born in Amlwch?
I went my holidays there when I was a kid.
Yeah. You didn't meet me mum, did you?
You never know.
Right.
Son.
So what's the rest of the lineup?
Well, it's lead guitar. We've got two lead guitars now, and one of them you'll know very well. Find his name on here now. Alan Hughes.
Alan Hughes, of course, yeah.
You know Alan, he worked with you for years, didn't he?
He did.
And so we have two lead guitars, which is superb, and something different. We've also got a girl backing singer.
Oh, brilliant.
Carla Lewis.
Which opens your repertoire to much more, doesn't it?
Yeah, we can sing even higher now.
And you got Mike Sweeney, haven't you?
Mike Sweeney, yeah. He's the only Manc in the lineup.
Who's been a big admirer of the Swinging Blue Jeans for years as well. You used to speak to me about yours quite often, you know.
Yeah,
and
well,
he's a big fan of Maisie B, totally Mike Sweeney.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was brought up with the Beatles. He was a Beatle maniac, you know. And when I met him first 40-odd years ago up in the Northeast, he was in a duo called Chug-a-Lug.
And they weren't a comedy duo. He must have been with a name like that.
Well, they were with Mike in it, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, you heard Mike before you saw him.
Yeah. Have you started rehearsing with the band?
Yeah, we've rehearsed. We've done the Plaza in Stockport.
Yeah,
On a charity show there, and that was well received. And we're doing a gig on the 21st of this month in a place called Dobbs Cross, which is in the middle of nowhere. You know where all those fires were on the moors?
Yeah,
well, it's somewhere
cross.
In the middle of there. So it's again, we're doing it for charity, but it's a great rehearsal for us,
right,
to do it in front of punters.
But the big date is the Cavern, isn't it?
Well, yeah, 31st
back
of
at
October.
The
yep, 60 years. It's taken me to get back. must have gone down well the first time.
We must be looking forward to that, because even though it's different, it's still the Cavern, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, the name, the magic of the name is still there,
exactly.
Even though the place itself inside is totally different to what it was.
Yeah, so it'll be all the hits?
Yep.
And more,
yep.
Any instrumentals?
No.
No okay.
Instrumentals, no.
Because
we're not tempting fate.
No. I mean, and you've had some great faces in the band over the years. Colin Manley, Terry Sylvester.
Oh, God.
You know, Mike Gregory. Some great people in the band. And some great memories for you, Ray.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, the sad part was losing the name legally.
Yeah.
Which I lost all faith in the
justice system
yeah. in this yeah. country, you know.
As I mentioned, Ray, this has happened with other groups, not just you.
Oh, yeah.
But as I mentioned before, you couldn't do it with a solo act.
No.
You know, so no. How is it, you know, you can do it with a group?
I don't know. I could never... I mean, when I was in court, the actual judge said to the other guy... you're absolutely wrong what you've done. And Mr. Ennis is entitled to the name, but I have to work by the letter of the law. And he said, it's with deep regret I have to find in your favour.
But you've come through it, and as I've read on Facebook, various people have put, unless it says Ray Ennis of the Swinging Blue Jeans, they don't go and see them. You know, so if there was a Ray Ennis's Swinging Blue Jeans on one club and the Swinging Blue Jeans on another club, we know which one they go to. So it's as simple as that.
Well, hopefully, yes. Yeah.
Do you have a date for the Cavern yet?
Yeah, 31st of October, Sunday night.
So start queuing on the 30th, because they're on the 31st. Ray, it's always a pleasure meeting you. It really is. I'm so glad you're back on the scene. Not that you could ever stay away if you wanted to. And we'll play You're No Good right now. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I'll see you at the Cavern in October, God willing.
Yep. Well, come down, we'll have a pint.
Billy Butler on Liverpool Live with Morton's Dairies. Proud to be your milkmen and women. Proud to serve you every single day. Liverpool Live.
If you enjoy my podcast, there's more over the next few weeks. Don't forget to subscribe. Click the link below. It's free. Liverpool Live.